God, praying, wouldn't turn, delivered from the lions. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's important that we always stay in a place of expectation. And I say that to cause sometimes the world, sickness, bills, neighbors, all that can have us distracted. You know, and all we got to do is focus. I mean, a move of God can come by one person just focus. Hallelujah. But I want to bring this up. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. They call it the love chapter. The title is Living a Lifestyle of Faith. You know, if I was going to title it. but that has really, I'll go on into that in just a minute. Love suffers long. Now, the Bible says in Romans 5 that the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, Satan knows that. Satan, the Bible says in Ephesians over there, for us to take the shield of faith that quenches all the fire. So he's saying faith is a shield. When you stay in faith, you're in a shield. You're in there, and it says that it puts out all. It stops all the darts of the enemy. It don't matter how they come. If they come through people, work, church members, come on somebody, neighbors, friends, it don't matter how it comes. But, you know, I mean, year after year, I had to learn to walk in this, especially at work. Because I own my own business, I deal with the public and all of that stuff, you know. And I've been done wrong, you know, and I mean, wanting to revert back to the old man and all of that, just like you. You don't have to own your own business. You can sit in your living room and it's going to come to you somehow, some shape, some form, some way to get you out of the love of God. You ain't got to ask God for the love of God. He came in. God is love. He came in if you're born again. If you're not born again, you don't have the kind of love I'm talking about. Natural love runs out when it's done wrong. But agape love suffers long. Suffers long. So what I did, you know, is it was always... They're not doing you right. Who is it about? Me. Right? That's what he's doing. Trying to get me to turn how what that person is doing, how it's affecting me. You know. And wanting me to respond the way that I feel or that it really is a fact. Even though something is a fact, it does not give us a right to yield the wrong way to it. Because that is the trap of the enemy. Because if he can get me to come out of love and begin to not be long-suffering, and I would tell Travis, I said him one time, to the worst person that I dealt with in business. This dude cussed you out before you got in there while you're working, and after while he's paying you, he'd cuss you out. I used that guy, I used him personally before Travis ever got to him. I used him personally to develop long suffering. I was good to that guy. And it goes on, it says, and it is kind. It says, love envies not, love on it not, don't brag, boast itself up, does not behave itself, seeks not its own. See, this is not to get on to us. This right here is the key to setting you free and me from men and women and devils and demons and church hurt. I heard it out of a guy just last week when I put garage doors in, let's work somebody in the church and said, I'll never use nobody in the church again. And I wanted to say, no, don't say that. Because of the bad dealings in people in the church, Christians. And I thought to myself, that's terrible. That is really terrible. The Bible says for me and you to swear to our, whatever it costs us to do the right thing, do it. But but I thought, if we stay in love, we will not have that testimony personally. For us, half the people in Christianity can get a bad reputation, but the rest of the other half can come out in victory and in faith and all of that. But what I'm saying here is, you know, love suffers long. And so I sent Travis on purpose when he was 16, 17 years old. I sent him to that guy. And I told Teresa, I said, 30 minutes. It took 30 minutes to get there. I said, he'll be calling me in 30 minutes. I didn't tell him nothing about it. Because God told me. God told me about my son when he was young. He said, you can't protect him from everything. He said, there comes a time when you've got to let him deal with hardship. You've got to let him experience it, because when he gets out from under you and in the world has no mercy. So sure enough, he called, Dad, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to punch him out. I mean, I let him go on. I'm going to punch him out. I'm going to bust him right in the mouth. He went on. I let him get done with his little tantrum. See, I done been there, Mac. I done been in front of that same guy. And I could have busted him and laid him out. But I thought, you know what? I've been crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of the living God, who died and gave himself for me. And I crucified that up there. And now it's his cross. See, some of you may be facing family members doing you wrong. They have their reason. Don't justify nothing. Don't have an opinion of nothing. Don't have an opinion. Don't let Satan work it in your mind. So I told Travis, I said, the customer's right. I told him, I said, look, son. I said, Satan works for me. That little devil yielding to the devil over there got my money. Now get the job done, get my money. You get paid to get cussed out. See, the church has got to think different than the world. Just quit. Why me? Offend me. They're steering to me, you know. Don't think about it. The Bible says if you'll walk in love, this will set you free. He didn't write this to get on to us, praise God. I mean, I don't care if the devil has got half of my people that buys doors for me. Praise God, just bless them. Devil, bless them. Just make them rich. The wealth of the sinners laid up for me, man. Y'all work, I've told sinners, get you another job. Work two or three, man, come on. Go get it. And they'll say, why would you say that? I'd say, because you're going to give it to Christians. According to this Bible right here. Work hard. Work three jobs. The wealth of the wicked's laid up for the sinner. I felt sorry for him at one time. And I said, man, God, that don't seem fair. You know? So, look, don't be tripped up by your kinfolk. Come on, somebody. What they ought to do. I'm telling you right now, it is a trap from the devil. We all deal with family. I got a big one. Big one. And boy, I'm telling you, you tell 150 of my family members, we want the perfect Christmas tree, you draw it. I'm telling you, everybody will draw their own Christmas tree, and you can have a knockdown drag out which one's the best, because every one of them thinks theirs is the best. You know, one of the things Satan likes to do, see, he don't want you living a lifestyle of faith. I mean, he tried to do it in church to me, D, while I was going to church, to get me to quit church. Because some of them stupid church members, that's what I would say. See, Mac, you got it good. Where do we get 250? You're going to want to slide out, but God ain't going to let you. He's going to say, no, Mac, it's time. It's time to stop that. It's time for you to fight the good fight of faith. You know, because you're going to have ministry. You can't just slide out. I can't just slide out. Right? You know, because love don't think about itself. When we're walking in love, we're not self-centered. We work our way out of being self-centered. I was telling my sister, I went to Tennessee, you know, And she said, did you stay a week? And I said, nah. I said, we'll come back Wednesday. I said, because, you know, I said it's hard for me just to slide out. I said, because church is that kind of priority to me. Why? It's not about me. This church ain't nothing about me. This is about God's will, God's kingdom, God's people. If I love God, feed my sheep, lead my sheep. Don't leave my sheep. Don't be a hireling. I've been faced with the scripture, and love compels me to not abandon you. Love compels me. See, and that's why Satan wants me out of it. He wants me mad at people at work. He wants me mad at Faith Restoration. He wants me mad at Redeemed. He wants me to have an opinion about every church. He wants me to be opinionated about why people do the things they do. Why would they do that? I wouldn't do that. You know, and I've endeavored to not be a busybody. I preach it to the church. But that's sometimes that's hard when we're locked into, I wouldn't have bought that car, Sandy. You had a good car. What is it my business? If she buys a fleet of them, let God buy as many as you want to and be generous and give me one. I'll just root for you to be prospering. What was Jesus, who was Paul talking to when he says, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded? Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to me and you. He said, charge them that are rich not to be high-minded, puffed up, but to be generous, willing to give, willing to distribute. God needs some rich people in this kingdom. He needs a rich church. He needs a wealthy church. He don't need a broke church. That's why Satan wants us to walk outside of the love of God to stop things from happening in our life of faith. So if you're having trouble, I mean, I've had more trouble probably in my immediate family, my natural family, to walk this than I have in the church family. Because most of the time the church family walks in love. They might do you wrong, but they'll go off and they'll try to pray, and God will say, noob, noob. And they'll repent and they'll go back and make it right. That's how simple that is. You know. So, and it's not because we don't love, though. Look, those that are without God does not have the same values that we have. But God, they don't. They don't have the same morals. They don't have this God convictions. They don't have the faith of God. The God of this world has blinded their hearts and minds. And Satan does not want me and you to let the glorious gospel shine through our lifestyle, that they see this God that we say that we serve. He wants me and you carnal. He wants us mad at half of our family, mad at the church, you know, mad at the food line. They don't deserve it. This is not what I was going to preach, but I know I'm nailing it. I know I am. I know I got the word of the Lord right there. Offended at work. Look, don't try to run your boss. Don't try to run those people. Those people are having a hard enough time keeping their own self job and doing the best they can do. Love won't do them like that. Love will bear up under pressure, right? The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. After that you've walked in love, after that you've not bossed your... I know I did it. And lost the anointing and begin to lose my faith. And God tell me, go back and apologize and go back to work and submit to authority. Do what they tell you to do. The only reason, Richard, I wasn't is because of how it was affecting me. Right? It was all about me. I wasn't thinking about how my attitude was affecting him or my boss or my co-workers One of them complaining desert Christians. That was me. I'm not talking about you. If that's you, just repent tonight and say, God, I'm sorry. You brought that word, and but God, I've been letting my family members get to me. I've been letting my co-workers get to me. I've been letting my husband get to me. I've been letting my wife. I've been letting my grandkids. I've been letting what I think my kids ought to raise my grandkids. Satan's tempted me with it and get me to think evil towards my kids. I call Beth my kids. She might as well be. And start giving my opinion. I think y'all ought to do this. Y'all ought to do that. Well, look, if you'll fast and pray and see if God wants you to say that, and it's Him saying that, there'll be a love and an anointing behind it, and it will bring out power to get them to help them do what you have found out that it's God's will. We're supposed to pray for one another. Ain't that what the Bible says? Breathe. I'm walking in faith. I don't know about you, but God, I have whatever I ask for. The Bible says in Mark 11 over there, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. When you ask for it, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. And he goes on down and he says, speak to those mountains, those things that is getting in the way. I desire for my grandkids to grow up knowing Jesus. I'm already praying for my granddaughter and binding the devil right now that he's not going to set her up with some little fine little dude out there that ain't raised in church and ain't going to church and don't won't have nothing to do with Jesus. So all y'all teenagers, y'all want, and young and under, you know, whatever you are, doorsteps there, you know, if you want a girlfriend, be a godly boy or man or woman. Because if a real parent's praying, the shield of faith puts out all them fiery darts. But see, he wants you fighting in the fire right now so that you're not taking and taking authority and thinking ahead, planning ahead, living out yonder. He wants you living right now and wants you burning in the fire, in the fire of the anointing of the not Spirit of God. So, you know, don't let anybody do anything that can bring you out. Listen, this is a key. This is a flag to you. When it's trying to stay on your mind all the time and that's all you want to talk about because it's hurt you, know that that is a red flag for you that is the wrong path. Get off of it. Drop it. Realize right quick, this path right here is taking me. And you know what? You will notice yourself. I did it, Johnny. That's how come I know. You'll notice yourself. You'll begin to have less faith in God. You'll get discouraged quicker, easier. You'll feel defeated easier and quicker when you don't walk in the love of God. You can't be in faith because the Bible says that faith works from the love that we walk in. You know? I mean, people build buildings. I'm telling you, man, just like the other day we went and we left at 7 and we got back at 12. It cost me around $50 an hour to run my truck. And we left at 7, got up there all the way to the job, unloaded everything, couldn't do the job, and come back. I didn't make a dime. I lost money. But I didn't gripe all of these stupid blah 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 blah. And then get home, blah 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 blah. I'm telling you, you're not in faith if you're doing that. I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm just telling you, I got right out and I thought, bless God, I'll prosper. God will work that to my good. You gotta stand on the word of God, and you've got to say Romans 8:28 says, God, talk to God with the word. I'm not bowing to this. So I said, well, that's terrible. I said, you know what? When I get back up there, I'm just going to charge him for what extra it cost me, just the extra it cost me. And I'm believing God that he won't have a problem with it. But if he does, I won't bust him. I'll just tell him, just make the check for whatever you feel is right, and I'll deal with it. Why? Because that extra money is not going to get me because I'm not thinking about what it's costing me. Right? The Bible says don't consider. Something like that. Kind. Does not behave itself. Seeketh not her own. Not easy. It don't think about your own self. God takes care of you when you do this. He thinks about you. He's daily loading you up with benefits, even the God of your salvation. But out of that guy's frustration, I'm just making you a small example of every one of us, Mac, is going to have opportunity. Some of y'all is going to have to go and ask people to forgive you. There'll be times when you'll have to go to them and say, I was wrong. I want you to know that I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I let things get to me. I got in the whatever you need to say. Because if you don't, Satan will just bring that up every time you begin to advance in the Lord. He'll pull that scalp off that sore again. There it is again. I told Travis one time, and I make an example, you know, I endeavor to work on this stuff. I can just let it go anytime, Johnny. I don't care how long you've been in the Lord or how long I've been in the Lord. Anytime that I want to, I can walk out and start not being long-suffering. I can do it anytime. The temptation is there for me, Richard. Every day, just about every day, the temptation is there because I come out of my living room. I overcame Travis being 7 minutes late every morning. I told Keith the other day, I said, you know what? He's going to feel funny when I just pull out and leave him. He's just going to look and say, hey, Dad, where are you going? No, he's got to where his own time. I went on vacation. He got there 20 minutes early. Miracles still happen. He had to catch the truck that morning. He was there. He knows the dude gets there at 6:30, but the dude's waiting on us to open. Travis was there at 6:45. Miracles D happen. But you know what? I didn't lay up there and worry. I didn't lay up there and worry. I said, God, you'll cause him to get up and he'll take care of it. And see, that's what I call 1 Peter 5:7. You got a 1 Peter 5:7, some things that's trying to worry you. You got a 1 Peter 5:7 that says, casting all your care over on the Lord because he cares for you. And so I said, I'm not going to be concerned about it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He will do what he needs to do. And all of that was me casting that over on the Lord. And I went up there and tried to outrun Teresa on go-karts, and it just didn't work. I might build a track and build me a go-kart. She ain't driving it. You're getting on the slow one. We seen favor all up there in the mountains. We seen the favor of God in silence. It was favor. We didn't have to stand in line and sweat, not one time. That was favor. We just went and did what we want to do, didn't even have to, and we've been up there, Johnny. I mean, you stand in a line if you want to do something long as this church. And we went up there, we just seen the favor of God. But you know, I could have went up there mad. I need to get away and get away from him. No, I'm already in him. I don't need to get away. I just want to go take a break. Right? This world shouldn't let it pressure you to where you want out. No, if you live a lifestyle of faith, I put it on Facebook the other day. I said, be successful where you are and God will promote you. Promotion comes from God. See, I don't need a better job to be successful. I need to be successful no matter what job I'm doing. Right? Do my work as unto the Lord. This is better than that sermon I was going to preach. This is good stuff to me. Woo, man, fire me up, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because, see, the Lord, it's just like I put on Facebook, you know, and the world can sit out there and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. I put on there, you know, come on to church, you know, and worship the Lord together with us. His presence causes all these things to be lifted off of you. I said, and a word from the Lord can change your life forever. Now, they ain't out there, I done been to church. You done tried that church. But you ain't tried the Holy Ghost yet, because he can take you in the middle of a dead, beat-down church and fire you up and cause revival right here. I've been there, done that. Let God, there ain't no dead church, there ain't no half-dead church can stop a fired-up Christian. I mean, you can't run them out. God says, go there. And they're like, I've had people tell me before, seriously, God sent me there. And it's tough, man. I'm telling you, hey, but them people, they'll cuss you out, blah, 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 blah. But God won't let me leave. I said, no, God needs some light shining in that dark place. I said, all they need is to see you stand under the pressures of all of this stuff and you walk in love and stay in faith in God. I said, God has you there for a purpose. 90% of Christians would leave a place like that and say, God wouldn't put me there. He put David under Saul. Elijah tried to get Elisha to leave him. Probably getting on his nerves. I don't know. Why don't you just leave? Probably getting on his nerves. When's God going to do it? What? I mean, he's whooping around. And I thought, good Lord, that could get on your nerves, boy. He'll come by you, he's playing, shooting, whatever, you know. And I thought, I bet that's what Elijah was doing out there. They're walking Elisha, but Elisha said, as long as I live, I am not leaving. I'm going to get that double portion of that anointing you've got. Elijah said, pray for me, Dad. He said, if you see me when I'm, he ain't leaving. He's probably thinking, I wish this old man hurry up. Hurry up and get out of here where I can get it. But what I'm saying there, I bet you Elijah had an opportunity. Who does this old man of God think he is? Tell me to leave. I mean, they don't tell everything that happened, but you know good way you tell your kids to shut up sometime, don't you? It ain't in the Bible for you to tell them to shut up, but I know I told mine to hush me leaning many a times. And I believe it was godly. Right? You know, back before I got born again, I mean, me and Teresa, we go in the bars, we're trying to find somewhere that we could halfway trust. I didn't really care, but now Teresa, he's not staying anywhere. And I'm like, I don't care, let's find somewhere, we got to go bar hopping. You know, now Teresa, she was a little bit different about that, you know. But after I got born again, I'm like, man, I don't want rid of him. Boy, y'all got quiet. See, you develop strength through the aggravation of your kids. You're supposed to show character through the aggravation of your kids. I never slapped Travis in the head and slapped him across the room. I never screamed at him that I can remember. I probably did, Johnny, but I just don't remember. You don't like to remember that bad stuff. You know, because I thought, no, that's mental abuse. I will not mentally abuse. I had to bring him down from high head when he got up because he's created the image and likeness of God. I'm the gift of God for these women. He thought that way. And I thought, oh my God, Lord, I got him too high here. Well, what was I did? I never made him feel. I never made him feel bad. I mean, you know, there's a way to talk to our kids without screaming at them. But if you let it go and let it go until you are a volcano and you just got to erupt, that's not their fault. That love won't do that. Love is long-suffering, kind, and gentle. And if you're having problems with that, don't get all condemned. Get that 1 Corinthians 13 and read it over and over and over and over and over and over until it gets in you and it changes you and it sets you free so you don't feel that you got to do that. That's what the Word of God does. It works. It's working in us mightily, the Bible says. And I'm not bragging, boasting on me, nothing that. I mean, I wouldn't have done it had I not done it. Had I not said, man, it's long-suffering. It's kind. It's kind to that. It's kind to those people that's rude to you out there on the job. I know it has to be worked on. It's kind to those that are unkind. You know, you can be kind. You can be generous. And you know what? You'll walk around blessed. You'll walk around happy, prosperous. I'm looking forward to work tomorrow. Now my mind says, man, don't think that way. But in here I'm like, glory to God, I get to go work tomorrow, man. I'm going to meet some more folk and different things, you know. I mean, I go to the grocery store. I mean, we go to the store and we get out and there's a guy in front of us and he pulled out all he had and he had him a little drink and he said, now I want the rest of it in gas. And she said, okay. And she rung it up and she said, it'd be $7.14. Good old man, you know. And I thought, that's terrible, man. That's a gallon and a half. It was $4 and something a gallon there. And so I just walked up and I handed my stuff to Travis. I said, here, pay for this for me, you know. I walked up there to that lady and I told her, I said, hey, I said, I want you to re-ring him up and add another 20 bucks to his car. He done gone. I said, add another 20. Well, let me fix it. And I give her that $20. And I thought, better go tell him because he'll probably stop it on 714. So I went out there to him, you know, and I told him, I said, hey, man, I said, just keep pumping. I said, because it's going to be $27.14. And I said, you know, man, I said, I just thought I'd give you $20 worth of gas right quick. I said, now, he said, oh, man, are you serious, man? I said, yeah, I'm serious. I ain't never met the guy. See, I don't just bless my little family members. There's a bunch of Christians think that they only bless their family members. It's easy to bless them. I don't know if the dude smokes pot. I don't know if he's a murderer. I don't know if he's going to rob a bank. He could. I mean, I might be tempted if I had $7.14 worth of gas and I'm only get a gallon and a half and I'm dead broke. So I told him, I said, hey, man, I said, you know what? I said, yeah, I just want, I said, God has been good to me. I said, you know, I said, now, I said, you can go ride around. I looked to see if he had a wedding band on. He didn't. And I said, now you can go ride around. I said, you find you a girlfriend now. You got some gas money. He said, I'm working on that. And I said, well, that's good. He said, nah, man. He said, I'm going to pick up my mama's medicine and all. And I appreciate that, man. I said, okay. He leaves, and then he goes down the road, and he's going, I got that peace, baby, sign out the window. That made me feel good, Johnny. After I just left the job up there and lost $200. Amen. Didn't bother me at all. Because you know what? It might seem like you're losing, but if you walk in love and all of that, God makes up for what the enemy steals from you. God will pay you back. And the scripture come up to me in my spirit when he's going down the road and he said, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. He said, I'm going to pay you back. And I said, I already know it, God. I didn't do it for that. It just felt good to do it. I didn't do it thinking I'll give and I'll get back. You know? See, that's the body God wants out there. But if I'd let my work over the last 30 years dictate how I believe, how I feel, and what I think, and what I say, that dude wouldn't have got nothing. I might have said, man, just shoot your leg or something. You got insurance? Cut your foot off and get you 30 grand, man. Thank God I didn't. Thank God that job didn't move me at all. And I got to tell that guy, God has been good to me. And I started walking off and he said, hey, buddy, God bless you. I turned around and I said, he does. I started telling him, you're it. He just did it. He blessed me. See, Satan don't want us, Sandy, walking in love. Or he wants you overboard. He wants me to ruin my grandkids and I just won't do it. I just don't tell them no. I let them do that. I get them once a week. I told them today. I told him yesterday. I said, I'm fixing out to fire you now, Aiden. Because he wants to do, he plays games and all of that. And me and Aubrey go do all that. And then I'll do it tomorrow. What about today? You know. Well, he's got to walk in love because he won't do us like that. So I got to minister love to him. I got to show him a little compassion. They got in today, and I told them, I said, you know, guys, I said, I took care of y'all today since y'all had a long day at school. And I picked the squash and took care of all that so you didn't have to do it today. It's church. Well, I had to do it. Praise the Lord. They're going to walk in love where they say, Papa's not going out there. We're going to do it all. Y'all hear me? The kids. Y'all hear me? It's going to get so in you that you're going to want to do it where Papa don't have to do none of it. That they're going to do it. I'm believing God for it. Not for me. Because that to training them is challenging to me. So I'm having to work on that too, Johnny. You know what I'm saying? And so, but see, I've got to let this work even in that. That might seem funny, you know, but it's real. It's real. I'm believing that the time these kids, your kids, Chloe, I called her Chloe the other day, I was in the middle with her. I said, happy birthday, Chloe. I love you. I do. I have for a long time. But the time they get out there, they're going to have gratitude for those people, right? They're going to be long-suffering. They're going to be, and if we walk it in front of them, not just preach it to them. You know, we can preach it to them, but that's really not it. The example is where the anointing moves. The walking is where the anointing moves. I put a demand on them. I told them, I said, I'm going to fire you. That was emotional. I'm like, oh, man, don't tell him that. It might hurt his feelings. He ain't got none right now. He's all selfish. Proves it that he ain't out there. He's doing what he wants to do. See, and that's what us grown-ups, this is telling us, come out of that. Come out of that. Bring them out of that. Little by little, when you have opportunity, you know. Somebody told me, Teresa, she tells me now, I think I'm funny. She don't think I'm funny like I used to be. And I tell her, well, I'm funny. You just don't think I'm funny. I tell her she's funny. But she's funny when she's serious. She walks around and she's got Elvis. She looks like Elvis when she's real serious. Got a lip like Elvis, you know. How it used to. I can always tell when she's serious. It's a good smile when she's not serious. But when she gets on the edge border of real serious and just serious, she has that Elvis, and that's my cue, Jenny. We have cues, you know. But I've let my marriage make me happy. Amen. Instead of getting bitter and getting self. See, one of the things that God did for me, Mac, is he helped me with brownies, where it says, husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought, good Lord, there's no way I can do that. Jesus died on that cross for the church. My head. Well, I went in there and I'm going to work and she ain't got a job as far as a secular job. And you know, she's sleeping in. And I'm going to work and there was only one brownie. So I opened the cabinet up and I was going to take it for a 9 o'clock snack, you know, and that brownie was there, and my thought was, well, she's still laying in bed. She ain't the one got to go work 12 hours a day, and blah, 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 blah. She's here sucking up air conditioning, nothing down in her. I ain't never wanted her to work. We've always tried to find the will of God, whether she's supposed to work or not. How many knows that's a good thing to do, right? And we always felt for her that it was not God's will that for her to work. And it turns out she does what she does now for the church and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, I had the thought, love your wife. I thought, man, that's what it means. That's terrible. That's what it means. I didn't know that's what it means, Sandy. So I left that brownie there. You know what that was doing? That was 13 there. Seek not my own. Although I thought she can eat any time. I'm going out there and I had a salary. It wasn't like we now, Richard. We didn't walk around money, go in there, eat what you want. It wasn't like that. But see, if you use it in those times when it ain't like that, you're going there. And that's going to develop you where now when you do get wealth and you do accumulate things, that you won't be selfish. You won't be self-willed about it. You won't be high-minded. You won't think you're better than anybody else. Things don't make you nothing. God does. Praise the Lord. Man, this is a good sermon, wasn't it? Or to take up an offering, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But look, I mean, you know, it's challenging. It's why everybody don't do it. I was at a funeral last night, and some young girl, you know, I prayed for her and all that stuff before and everything. And she starts telling me all the bad things that it's happened. She said, "Did you know all that?" I said, "No, I didn't know all that." I said, "It's better off that I don't know all that." I said, "Because you know what?" And I mean, scripture started coming to me, and I began to speak those scriptures out when I got done. And there's one young girl over, she's going, "Ooh, that's good. Ooh, that's good. That's good." And I looked at her and I said, "You know what? This is the best funeral you've ever been to. You got the word of the Lord to you in this funeral. It's a sad time for you." She said, "Boy, you put scriptures on there and it's always what God's speaking to me." And I said, "I don't never put scriptures on there unless I feel the Lord wants me, inspires me." I said, "So," she said, "do you remember them?" And I said, "No." She said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, I'm serious." I said, "I don't know nothing about you, but God does. God knows everything about you. God knows what to do. He will let those unruly people into your life. He'll let you get devils. How are you going to cast them out if you don't get them? Right? He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Right? So don't sit back. "Oh, I don't know, devil. Them preachers are supposed to do that." No, we're all preachers. Every one of us need to be laying hands on people if they're sick. He says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name," you ought to be looking all the time. "Where you at, devil? Just manifest yourself, but God, I'll pop Jesus right on you and get you out of that guy or that girl or that kid, and I will set you free." I believe a dog was demon possessed one time and it eat everybody up, and I broke in the building. The dog just left. It didn't bother me. But I believe that I have dominion over dogs. See, faith works when you walk in the love of God. And if you can do it in your family, shoot, you got it. You mastered it. If you can do it with family members, you master it. I hate to say it that way, but my God, hallelujah. I praise God for my whole family. They've helped make me a man of God. That's what I've told Trina before. "Man, you helped me make me a man of God." Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Walked up to Pastor Oney last night, and Dana, and I'll close with this. And I walked over there, and you know, and Dana's sitting there, and Oney, and I looked at him, and I said, "You know what?" And they brought up the time before when I preached up there. I just told our story, mine and Teresa's life, giving an example, and however it seemed to them, whatever, they took it, you know. He said, "How was the ride home?" I said, "It was good. It was really good." Well, he told me with that service, he said, "Man, you say things I no way I could say to my wife." And I said, "Well, but "I don't know really what's talking about. You know, we've lived for Jesus, and we tell our story, and we went through our stuff and how we did it and what we did, and then we came out, you know." And so anyways, I walked up there and I said, "You know what me and Teresa has figured out about our marriage?" "Oh, what's that?" "She needs the grace of God to live with me. And I need the grace of God to live with every one of y'all. Need it for each other." Amen. It ain't just me and Teresa. We're graced. We're usually different. Me and Teresa are like daylight and dark difference in a lot of stuff. But when it comes to God, we unify. And the kingdom, we unify. You know? But my differences and her differences come together, and I mean, it makes strength when we operate right. That's the way that it happens. God knows it, praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Don't let no devil get you offended. Cast them thoughts down. Don't be opinionated about what people ought to do, what they ought not to do, because you don't know. They could say it about you. If I was Richard, I'd sell everything. Well, you ain't Richard. Right? Well, he could do this. Well, you ain't Richard. Ain't nobody did that, Richard. I thought about it, but I'm not going there. I'm not letting Satan take me down that pothole. Amen. He'd drive me nuts for Richard. He would. Or any of you'd be drove nuts by the devil with me. Well, if I was Pastor Scotty, I'd blah, 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 kill half of them. Get me a new congregation. I happen to love y'all, and y'all go somewhere, start your own church. Right? Don't give your opinion to me about that. We're doing the will of God. I'm going to work in the morning. I'm going to get up and do the will of God tomorrow. D, go to work. It's the will of God. I told Glenn that there the other day. He was up there, and he said, "What are you doing today?" I said, "I'm doing the will of God again." That's what I tell him every time I'm doing the will. He meant, where am I going, what am I doing, where he can take it off the list. I said, "I'm doing the will of God again today." I said, you know, there's some things we don't like in the Bible sometimes. When I found out that was the will of God, I thought, oh my God, that's terrible. But now the will of God has brought me to a place of prosperity. Doing the will of God, faithful to him, praise God. Let's bury his thoughts.